This podcast series features extracts from a hilarious series of live radio programmes broadcast 20 years ago on HRB by me, Vernon Pierce, and one of my best friends, but now sadly late, Brian Starman. In the Grumpy Old Men programmes, we played some of our favourite middle-of-the-road music, interspersed with moans about some of the things in life that annoyed us, plus some amusing and not always politically correct observations on life. Here are some of those observations, which strangely don't seem to have changed much with the passage of time. In this episode, the grumpy old men are moaning about business speak, misleading prices, telephone sales, health and safety, service charges in restaurants, and political correctness.
Can I have my first whinge?
Of the morning, of the day? Yes, all right, go on then.
Well, this has a sort of a historical ring because I'm now retired, but I remember going to business meetings over the years and there was this great use of phrases that, quite frankly, I had no idea what their purpose was or what they actually meant. And I was sitting in this meeting once and the guy up front, the presenter, said, "I think we should run it up the flagpole to see if it floats." I'm sure I wasn't the only bemused person in the audience, but nobody had the guts to actually ask what it meant. Another one he came out with, "Is there an elephant in the room?" And to this day, I have no idea what it means. But something that I think everybody will have heard is the downsizing one.
Oh, yes, that's now, the sort of favourite phrase at the moment, isn't it?
Well, we know what it means, don't
we? Making people redundant.
Getting rid of people, why don't they say it?
Especially people of our age.
Do you have any that you could particularly remember?
Well, that running up the flagpole, I think he was probably mixing metaphors there. It's running up the flagpole and see if it salutes. I never did really understand what that meant, but no. You're absolutely right. If you work for big companies, and it seems to be spreading now, there's this desire to cloak everything they do in some sort of clever speak, business speak.
With mystique. So
do they feel insecure? Do they think that by using these clever words and phrases that, you know, people will think they're better?
One wonders, doesn't one?
I mean, at the end of the day, you need to be able to communicate with somebody and make them understand what it is you're trying to do.
Otherwise, purpose defeated. The other one I came was, I heard the expression cascade down. Would we go back to our departments and enable this to be cascaded down? And I thought, well, we're in the building, we won't get wet in there. But apparently he was not talking about water.
What worries me is that there are a lot of people, perhaps junior staff or at least less experienced staff, who actually don't know what these phrases mean and perhaps don't fully understand what's being said to them. And, you know, this causes communication failure, doesn't it?
It is.
And then people just don't do what they're supposed to do.
Do they get told off later for not cascading things down and not running up flagpoles and saluting elephants?
Enough of this nonsense. Anyway, my first moan today is about silly prices. Now, why do shops put prices like, you know, £2.99? And, you know, why is a large item priced at £259.99? You know, we all know what the actual price
is. It's £260,
well, exactly.
Isn't it?
Do they really think they're going to fool people by, you know, knocking a penny off and making it look as if... you know, it's cheaper than it really is. And what do they do with all the pennies?
Exactly. Do they give it to charity?
Well, no, my tip is this. And if you want to embarrass people into, you know, perhaps changing their ways, ask them to keep the change.
Yes. And enjoy it. Enjoy it.
And the other one, slightly connected with that, and I think more insidious, is prices from.
Yes.
Now, how many times do you eagerly go to a website or phone a company that's advertising 7 nights in wherever from or flights from, only to find out it costs you a hell of a lot more?
Why is the word from written so small?
Yeah, but it's not just that. They're actually conning us because either there aren't any, you know, at that low price, or certainly there won't be any left when you phone up.
Right.
You know, oh, well, we did have one, sir, last week, but
we've now got one that costs £3 million.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think, again, if it's possible, I refuse to buy at the inflated price. You said prices from, and now you're telling me it's going to cost perhaps twice as much.
Yes.
You know, they put prices, holidays from let's say, a certain figure. Yes, there is 1 week in February when you would never dream of going to that country.
But it's in the broom cupboard, which they failed to mention.
That's right. It's a con, I think. And
it's an out-and-out con.
Yeah.
Let's not be nice about it. Let's not beat about the bush. Let's call it as it is.
That's right. And so the way to beat that is just to go elsewhere.
Yes.
It may be difficult and you may have really set your heart on it, but at the end of the day, you were going to buy that product or that service because it was such a low price.
Yes.
So just refuse to buy it.
I agree.
I've got something to moan about today, Brian. I'm sorry, but this is an old one, but it's telephone sales. I get fed up with the phone ringing, especially about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening when you're cooking dinner or eating dinner or whatever. And it's either silence first, where you know the computer's called you, and shortly someone will come on with some inane sales patter, or they go straight into it, you know what I mean? And you really don't want to be sold anything, whether it be timeshares or double glazing, or would you like a new kitchen or whatever?
But their first words normally are, "We're not trying to sell you something." Oh, yes.
All right, then, fine, bye.
I'm only one day old. I was born yesterday.
Now, there are lots of ways of getting around this. Okay, just put the phone down if you want to. Give them a load of verbal abuse if you want to. But if you want to actually avoid having the phone calls in the first place, there is something called the telephone preference service.
Yes.
That helps you make sure that your telephone number is no longer available to organisations, including charities and voluntary organisations, though, who may, you know, telephone you with offers and information and so on. And it's actually government legislation that was introduced back in 1999 to say that it's unlawful to make unsolicited direct marketing calls to individuals who've indicated that they don't want to receive such calls.
Right.
So by registering yourself with this telephone preference service, then you're protected, if you like, by this legislation.
There is a problem in there, if I may interrupt. They withhold their numbers, these people who cold call.
Yeah.
I wonder how that we identify them.
Well, that's right. I mean, this system is not foolproof because there are some people who refuse to adhere to it. And as you say, you can't trace who they are and so on. But it certainly has worked for me, and it's drastically reduced the number of calls that I receive. You can do it by contacting companies directly and asking them not to call you, which is a long-winded way of doing it. But register with a telephone preference service. Now, you can do this online at www.tpsonline.org.uk, which is telephone preference service online, or telephone 0845 070 0707.
Can you repeat that for me?
Yeah, I will. 0845 070 0707.
Brilliant.
Or I'm sure that your Citizens Advice Bureau will be able to give you that that number. And hopefully that will actually reduce the hassle. Because I know that my old mum and dad, you know, bless them, they're getting on in years a bit now. And they do get quite stressed.
And
all
upset.
That's right.
And frightened.
Yeah, absolutely. And my mum in particular has in the past volunteered to help various charities and collect for them and so on.
Yeah.
But now she gets all sorts of calls because her name's been distributed around the UK.
Sold by people like councils.
And she gets all sorts of organisations coming on saying, "Oh, look, thank you very much for helping us," or whatever. "Can you do some more collections for us?" And of course, she can't anymore. But
it's very difficult to say no.
Exactly.
It's not something we're all very good at.
No.
But I've got a friend who copes with the sales cold calls, but he's quite young in the sense that he makes an appointment for their representative to visit when he knows he's going to be out.
That's naughty, isn't it? It's nice.
Well, they ask for it, don't they? You're listening to Two Grumpy Old Men, presented by Vernon Pierce and Brian Starman, a regular programme of middle-of-the-road music, interspersed with moans about the things that annoy us most, and some amusing observations on life.
Well, we've had some good old moans today, Brian. What's next?
Hey, health and safety, Vernon.
Oh, don't take me down that road. God, that's a minefield, that subject.
Well, There are several that come up on this. One that really, in some ways, reverts to my childhood. Now, I don't know if you can remember autumn as a boy, but one of the things, one of the great activities was Conkers.
Absolutely, I remember playing Conkers.
And I can't remember anybody being seriously hurt or maimed in any way. But apparently now, I think officially you have to wear goggles, but they might now be proposing you wear a suit of armour as well to avoid getting any injury. And in some schools, this is banned. Now, this is overprotectionism, as what I see it, kids away from the risks of life.
I mean, the worst you ever used to get was a bruised knuckle or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you could fall off your bike. Do they, you know, suggest that you can't ride a bike, you know?
Well, I suppose they could decree that Conkers must be made of sponge of a certain consistency. But that's one of my things.
I mean, it's just such a pity because, as you say, you're just protecting children and they're no longer able to enjoy just some of the simple games in life.
Or they're not learning about the hazards and the risks and the chances that you inevitably have to take.
But this political correctness is sort of pervading our lives now. Have you got some more examples?
Well, again, it's a health and safety issue. We have a local florist, and I occasionally do get the white flowers there. But as you leave the store, there's a huge sign, very prominent, on the exit door, and it says, "Our products are not to be eaten."
You are joking.
I am not.
I mean, who in their right mind would even attempt to eat flowers? And why is it necessary to tell people that?
You've never had carnation ham and chips?
No, obviously not.
Right.
Well, I've had rose hip syrup. Is that?
No. That's dangerously close, but that's very good. But my last one, and this is it's in the media going round at the present. There's an organisation that want to run a social event. And one of the foods they want to dish up are mince pies. And they've been told officially they must carry out an official risk assessment on the eating of mince pies. And the issues they have to address are the temperature of the mince pie, the contents that may contain nuts and fruit, and the crumblability of the crust. Because it may adhere to the visitors' clothing and cause them harm. But
that
this is crazy.
Is ludicrous. I mean, who dreams up these things and why do they feel that they... I know we're getting into a litigious society where, you know, people would rush to law to sort of... if they slip on something and all this sort of thing. But we're getting... well,
because
I'm speechless.
You're not. Oh, hooray, it's worked. But it's like the McDonald's hot coffee claim, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you know, somebody
right.
sued them because their coffee was hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it supposed to be? Oh, we could go on with this one all day.
Yeah, but we better not, had we?
My moans today is service charges in restaurants. I just get so annoyed when I pick up a bill and I find that they've added a service charge on.
Well, it's normally 20% or something?
Well, yeah, but even if it's
10%, yeah.
It's not that I'm being a mean old sod, but...
Really? Convince me, Vernon.
But I really would like the option to maybe leave a larger tip than that. And if it's a small amount, you know, and it's a small bill in a restaurant and you've had good service, then, yeah, you know, a few pounds here or there is not, not out of the ordinary. But the point is, it's a con because although you can legally say, will you please deduct that service charge, you feel under pressure and you feel obliged to pay it.
And also, presumably, you're there with company and you feel fearful of embarrassing them.
Exactly.
Because they know you're a tight old git.
Yeah, I mean,
but you don't want to remind them.
No, that's right. If I took you out to dinner, I'd say, look, that was a miserable service. Get rid of that service charge. No, you can do that. But as you say, how many people would do that?
I don't know, because it takes nerve.
It does.
But there's another issue on this service charge, and I always ask, I want that money to go to the person who has attended me and not the business.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever I pay by credit card, I do ask the landlord of the pub or whatever, if I'm paying for a pub meal, will this money actually go to the staff? Because I'd rather see it go into a pot at the back of the bar where it will actually be distributed amongst the poor underpaid bartenders or whatever.
I always ask the waiter or waitress, because the boss might not be 100% truthful.
Yeah.
And if she's uncertain or he's uncertain as to where it's going, they get the cash in hand.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it goes into a pool. I can understand that.
Yes.
Where at the end of the evening, all the tips are pooled and they're shared amongst the staff, even though I would prefer that money to go to that waitress or waiter who'd looked after me particularly well. But even so, that's a much fairer system than it going into the pocket of the man who runs the restaurant.
Yeah. But they have a problem in the sense that I'm probably far more generous than the other people attending the restaurant. So the other people, the other waiters and waitresses would benefit from my generosity, whereas I want my generosity to go to that particular waiter. You're not believing me, are
you?
No,
I'm not.
Right, my next one comes under a generic heading of political correctness. And we could go on ad nauseum for months on this, couldn't we, Vernon? But I've got three particular topics. I'm a volunteer at the National Trust at the Vine, local
right,
Basingstoke.
Yep.
And there was a training session being undertaken by a guy brought in specifically for the session. And he wanted to get our ideas on particular topics. And he said, before I start this, he said, I have to warn you that I am not allowed officially to use the expression brainstorm because there are sensitivities out there. It's now actually a word shower.
What on earth is wrong with the word brainstorm? We've been using it for years. And all right, in itself, I suppose it's a bit of a... We're going back to this business speak we were talking about earlier, but yes, we all understand what it means.
Yes, but apparently there are people out there who may have a medical condition that would cause them offence.
Oh,
so we did a wonderful word shower for about
word
an hour.
Word showers, okay.
Word
yeah,
shower.
Yeah.
And another thing is I met this really nice guy once professionally, and he said that he was having to leave a very well-paid job in a council in West London. And I said, is it that you don't like the work? He said, no, I love the work. I said, is it that you don't like the people you work with? So he said, no, that's not the problem. He said, it's political correctness. So I said, well, can you give me an example? He said, yeah, well, when you go to the cafe, there's a notice which says you're not allowed to order black coffee. You have to order white without milk. And that was, he said, that's endemic of the attitude, this oversensitivity towards those sort of issues.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And if so, there's another Grumpy Old Men podcast coming up soon.